2 weeks ago, Jackie and I spent almost 10 days up in northern British Columbia, up on the Alaska Highway, north of Fort St. John, visiting a series of Christian farm communities. There's six of them in that area. There's a number of others, but we were simply visiting those of people who are an exciting expression of the body of Christ. They have left jobs and professions here in the States and have gone up into the wilderness, living in community, living off the land, in a very beautiful part of the world. There were deep forests and deep snow. We were in 24 inches, I guess. It was on the ground while we were there. Got our first dog sled ride. But they're making their living off the ground, either with animals or with farms or running trap lines. Gene Barry and I, the Barrys were with us. We spent one entire afternoon following moose tracks through the forest on snowshoes. We were on snowshoes. The moose was just on his own. But it was a good time, and the experience with the people was an exciting time. But it was a sad time, too, and I've come back trying to evaluate my own feelings after having been with these people who have secluded themselves from the world and are living in community, and to evaluate why it is that I have had this internal sadness. And I believe that the basic reason was because the emphasis in these communities was on endings rather than beginnings. Their entire reason for going, and they've been up there for almost 20 years now, was because of a concept of the end times, that the systems of this world were getting ready to crumble, and they were withdrawing from that so as not to be part of the crumbling secular system. Now, since they have been there, their emphasis on the end of the age has shifted to some degree, and they no longer call their farms end time farms. And that has moderated, and they have picked up an exciting emphasis on living in community, the joy of living in community, of being the family of God, and of the joy of living with simplicity and off the land. But the flavor of end time things still remains, and the emphasis is still on endings rather than on beginnings. One of the things they don't do is they don't celebrate Christmas, because they see Christmas as part of the secular system and part of the commercial system. And in their emphasis of withdrawing from that, they have left behind the commercial holidays. All of those things have been left behind. And I understand their reaction, all of us, that one time or another, perhaps constantly, react against the rather crass commercialism that we experience out in the world. And yet at the same time, there's something in me that when we came off the farms and drove back down from Vancouver down to Seattle and saw the Christmas trees, that says, that's okay. In fact, that's good. I have chosen, as part of my lifestyle, as part of my mentality, to major on beginnings and not on endings. There are those whose entire emphasis is on the end of things and getting ready for the end. I have felt across the years that God has told me that I should major on beginnings, on birth, not on death, on Genesis, not on Revelation. I sat and listened as Rob Ely sang, "O Holy Night," a few minutes ago. Pictured myself standing on the platform of the First Baptist Church of Vero Beach, Florida, when I was his age, with about as much hair as he has. and singing that same song. It was in the back of the Broadman hymnal that we used. My first solo before a church, with my knees quivering and my voice quaking and my hands moist and worrying whether I was going to hit the high notes and whether I was going to be able to get through and remember the lyrics. And I sat a moment ago and listened as Rob sang. Everything in me said, beginnings. Beginnings. That's how it starts. That's where it's at. I'm so glad to be part of a church that doesn't bring in a professional singer from New York to sing O Holy Night, but can use one of our kids to do it. That's the way it ought to be. Because that's part of the beginning process. The last 4 days I've been down in the swamps, going from Canada to the Everglades, on an annual hunting trip that I have been doing for the last 10 years down in the edge of the Big Cypress Swamp down between just outside of Immokalee on the other side of Lake Okeechobee. Friday morning I was sitting in a cypress tree about 30 feet off the ground on a little board about that wide with a shotgun across my lap and waiting for the sun to come up. Before dawn, full moon just setting in the west. Everything looks different in the darkness. Sitting there looking at a huge hammock spread out before me of oaks and palms, suddenly realizing I've been down there for 10 years. I've never seen a black bear before. And that sitting under one of those cabbage palms was a black bear, kind of squatting up on his haunches, just sitting there looking at me. I didn't move. He didn't move. And we stared at each other for a good 20 minutes until the sun came up and he turned into a big palm frond. Anybody who has gone hunting before dawn knows that experience of seeing wonderful and marvelous things in the forest. But with the light comes knowledge. I sat and listened for those 4 mornings, watching the day come alive, watching as the earth is reborn from darkness to light, listening as the world comes to life, and as all of the creatures begin to sing, the birds begin to chirp first, and then the squirrels begin to bark and chase each other around the tree. The coons and possums are walking on the floor of the forest underneath, and across in the slough you can hear the big gators as they begin to bellow, and the wild pigs as they snort and rummage through the leaves. And across the glade, we could see the big animals moving, not quite sure what they were, whether it's the deer or what. And then suddenly 1,000 or 2,000 birds rise from a lake and take off and come right at you under your tree and all around you as life begins to happen just at sunrise. And I thought it must have been like this at the birth of the world, when it was simply Adam and Eve and God, and all the creatures were there, and everything was new. And I sat in that tree stand and remembered the words Phillips Brooks wrote 120 years ago. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels there. great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. And I thought again, Christmas is a time of birthings, of beginnings, of light, not darkness, of beginnings, not endings. John writes it in the beginning of his biography of Jesus and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God and was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. We find the equation of beginning and light and life all the same here, all tied into one Word, the Logos. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. We still don't understand it, but we're beginning to, because the sun is coming up. And what we thought was a black bear really isn't a black bear. What we looked upon so fearsome, we're beginning to understand is not to be feared at all. That it's something special, this Jesus, this God. Paul writes about this same principle over in the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians when he says, when the time had fully come, or the King James Version says, when the fullness of time had come. But when the time, that time that God had marked from the very beginning before time was, when God said, one day I'll set all the clocks running, and then marked a place on the face of the clock and said, there, then, this place, this time, when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. The sun will come up on the swamp, and the shadows that we fear in the nighttime will all disappear. And we will sit amazed as the Son of God makes His appearance in darkness to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. He's come to make us part of His family. But in that, there is a leaving behind of that which scares us, of that which has been ineffective. There can really be no sunrise unless darkness flees. We really can't experience a new beginning unless there is some kind of death of the old. But if you major on the death, you'll never experience the joy of the beginning. And so it's not that we are afraid of the dark, rather it's that we look forward to the rising of the sun. It's not that we're afraid of the experience that we're in or what we're walking through. Rather, we have our eyes focused on that which is to be, that which we receive by faith, that Christ is being born again and again and again and again. Last year, Jackie and I were in Dallas for a few days at Tyler Street Methodist Church. And one of the ladies gave Jackie a beautiful necklace, which is a gold chain which suspends a seashell, a chambered nautilus. It's a small one. They grow much larger than this. But there's something significant about the chambered nautilus, because it's one of the few shells that seals itself off from the past. And as it grows, if you would open this shell, you will find a number of different compartments inside, each one sealed off. And as it moves from one stage of life to another stage of life, it seals off the old stage and moves on to the new stage and grows and increases its shell. Sometimes they get very, very large. And each place there is a sealed chamber on the inside. Oliver Wendell Holmes, walking on the beach one day 150 years ago, grabbed hold of that concept and said, through the deep caves of thought, I thought I heard a voice that sings, build thee more stately mansions, O my soul. And as the swift seasons roll, leave the low vaulted past. Let each new temple nobler than the last shut thee from heaven with dome more vast, till thou at length art free, leaving thine outgrown shell by life's unresting sea. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is not a manger. Christmas is a living Christ. Amen. We need every once in a while to look back, but the only reason we look back is to remember that we no longer need to be afraid, that He is here. He is alive. He is born in us today. And so as the chambered nautilus seals off the past, that's death. But it's death only to have life, because you cannot have that and this too. It's terrifying, because we find ourselves often very, very comfortable. We don't want to change what we're doing. We don't want to reevaluate. We don't want to lay on the altar again our own pet concepts and the ambitions and the desires we have, even the things that God has given us. We want to clutch these things and hold them tightly to our chest. The only way you can have that which is to come is by turning loose of that which you have. Yesterday afternoon, Paul and Brenda Evans came out to the house with their home church. Paul's been a Southern Baptist pastor. They're here this morning. He's a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Seminary, which is my alma mater as well. And they got into some problems and moved to Melbourne. And they came by the house yesterday afternoon with their home church. We had planned this ahead of time, right after I got back from hunting trip, to say their marriage vows. Brenda brought with her wedding dress, put it back on. Had removed their rings, had written their own ceremony, and the home church was there with them. And they were remarried. And I thought, as they were going through this, so many of our marriages have flaws and cracks in the foundation. But most of us just go to work with the plaster and plaster it over. Sometimes it's necessary to do what they did, to take off the rings, to jack the house up, and to knock out the old crumbling foundation, and to build something that's solid and fresh and new, and say, what we have looks good on the outside, but it won't last unless we put something genuine on the inside. And to start the vows all over again. And say them this time, not just with the lips, but with the heart. Christmas is a time of new beginnings. It's a time of starting over. It's a time for rekindling of love and commitments. It's the dawn of a new day. We have a new little baby in our house. It's not mine, but it is mine too. Bruce and Michelle, our oldest son, daughter-in-law, gave birth to Scott, 2 months ago now, I guess. And we've had this marvelous experience of having a new little baby welcomed back into our house. First time in 24 years. That we've had a little one in the house, a newborn one that's living with us. They're in and out all the time, but to have him right down the hall from us. It's been a marvelous experience. Michelle is here this morning. But shortly after the baby was born, she went through, and by the way, Michelle, you just get exposed to this because you live with us. Our kids have been putting up with this for a long time, but
I have to confess her sin is what happens. But she
went through that which so many new parents go through, which is a postpartum depression period. It's a strange and mysterious kind of experience of having your firstborn child, having the baby in your arms. What could be more precious than that? And yet at the same time feeling depressed, terribly depressed, and not knowing why you're crying. And I sat with her one afternoon and we talked and discussed some of the things that had really gone on. That in order to have that little baby, you've got to give up something that's been very, very close to you. For to have a baby in your arms, you've got to get rid of the baby that's been in here. And nothing is closer or more intimate than a mother and her yet-to-be-born child. No communion is closer. Nothing is sweeter than the communion of mother and unborn child, of holding that child right up against your heart, of feeding that child with your own body, of every cell in your body functioning for the purpose of the life that is there. And then one day, that's all gone. It's like a death. And there's a cavity left on the inside. And even though your mind is focusing in on that which is in your arms, your heart is grieving for that which is gone. And it takes a while to get through the grief experience because your body is simply saying, I'm missing that which was so close. But you can get through it because of this. Because you can look into the face of a newborn. It's what's so tragic about losing a child before term, especially if it's taken by an act of the will through abortion, is that the body still grieves, but the mind has nothing to hold on to any longer. And so how wonderful it is to move through the grief experience of birth into the glorious experience of child care and child raising. It's beginnings. And that's what Christmas is. When the fullness of time was come, Jesus left all of that in order to be here with us. The grief that must have been in God's heart. We talk about the grief at Calvary, but the grief that must have been there with the incarnation when that which had been so close to him in the form of his son was now removed and gone into a strange place, a cruel place. Like having your child go off to school or off to his first job or whatever it is out there in that world, and suddenly mom and dad are not there to hold and caress and protect any longer. And yet out of that marvelous beginning experience comes life. I'm here this morning to encourage you. He's alive. He's not relegated to mangers or to tombs. He's alive. He's not a porcelain doll or a crucifix on a wall. He's alive. I know. Let's stand again. I encourage you this morning to open your heart to the new birth of Jesus. When a learned and intelligent man came to Jesus to ask him about eternal life, Jesus looked at him and said, oh, it's so simple. You have to be born again. Born again. For all of life is made up of rebirths.
And just as we need to be filled with the Spirit and refilled and filled and filled, so we need to be reborn and reborn and reborn. And the old part of us needs to be laid down so that the new can happen. There needs to be a sealing off in that seashell. A sealing off of the old. That which was so precious, in order to venture out and build that which is yet to come. As comfortable as the night is, there must be a dawn. Blessed are those who are daytime people rather than night people. For sin operates in the darkness, but righteous operates in the light. So would you welcome the light of the world into your heart this morning? And would you once again commit yourself to go out into a world that is walking in darkness? All the hollowness, the artificiality, the plastic Jesus that we see out there, all mixed up with Santa Claus and reindeer. But in the midst of all of that, are you willing to walk out and let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? What a marvelous opportunity to be a Christmas candle that others can see you. To speak a word about our Lord. To let your life reflect the new beginnings. Christmas is a time for children. Enjoy them. But even more important, become like them. Filled with awe and wonder that God has come to earth. Emmanuel, He is with us.